the big question in business, how does a currency intervention help Japan recover from the earthquake and tsunami?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. More on Japan in a moment. First, breaking news. Libya's foreign minister says the country has declared a ceasefire against rebels there. The move comes just one day after the United Nations approved a no-fly zone in that country. Japan's currency is down today about 4%. That follows an agreement among the G7, representing seven developed economies, to intervene and weaken the yen. The currency had reached record highs in the aftermath of the disaster in Japan. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch, and she's with us live from New York. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
We know it's an act of solidarity for these countries to come together and help the economy in Japan in these times, but what exactly does lowering the yen's value do?
Well, the last thing that Japan needed at this critical moment was a strong yen. As a major exporter, a weaker yen makes Japanese goods more affordable and competitive in the global market. Economists think that a weaker yen will allow the best chance of a quicker recovery.
A quicker recovery. All right. So what about the volatility of the markets then in response to the disaster, almost a week to the day, right? Why is everybody still on edge?
Well, uncertainty is the enemy of investors, and clearly this is one of the more uncertain events the world has seen. And with the outcome unclear, investors will sell their risky assets, they'll head to the sidelines, buy some U.S. government bonds, and wait out what the situation appears to be, and they reassess the situation on a day-to-day basis. That's very normal in this kind of situation.
All right, Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch. Jill, thanks.
Take care.
All right, today the Fed is expected to lift restrictions on some of the nation's biggest banks. That's so they can pay out more of their profits to shareholders. Well, the Fed's been keeping a pretty tight rein on the banks since bailing them out during the financial crisis. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
The Fed has just finished stress testing the nation's biggest banks, and it's expected to say many are now healthy enough to shell out some of the cash that they've piled up by boosting dividends and buying back stock.
I guess you could say they're profitable, but for the wrong reasons.
Finance professor Cornelius Hurley at Boston University says megabanks like Wells Fargo, JPMorgan Chase, and Goldman Sachs have strong balance sheets now, in part because the government has deemed them too big to fail and implicitly guaranteed their debts. That improves their credit ratings and lowers their cost of doing business, which means they can now reward their shareholders.
And oh, by the way, at the very time that they're allowing this transfer of wealth, the Federal Deposit Insurance Fund itself has a negative balance of $9 billion. One would think that there are many other uses for this money than returning it to the shareholders.
Critics say they should also be lending out more money to private businesses to create jobs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are higher right now, anywhere from 0.5% to 1.5%. Shares in Tokyo were up 2.5% today, and Asian shares were flat for the most part. General Mills is going to pay more than $1 billion for a 50% stake in the French yogurt maker Yoplait. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 161 points, about 1.5%, to close at 11,774.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Facebook is about to start testing a local deals service in several markets, something very similar to Groupon. Users in Atlanta, Dallas, San Diego, and a couple of other markets will soon be able to buy different deals offered on Facebook and then share those deals with their friends. Well, it's certainly not the first time the social network giant has entered into a rival's internet territory. Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe is with us now. Good morning, John.
Hey, Steve.
Now, I thought Facebook was for gathering friends and showing pictures of the Grand Canyon. When did they start wanting to take over the internet?
Well, it's not that they want to take over the internet. It's not that they want to be omniscient. They just want to be omnipresent. They just want to be everywhere on the internet with you. I mean, the philosophy of Facebook is everybody learns from everybody else. The business reason for that, of course, is the advertising. The more they know about you, the more accurate and more tailored your profile can be, the more tailored the ads that they serve you can be. And advertisers will pay a lot of money if they know that they're going to get a good chance of a return.
So what are they talking about, John?
They're showing baseball games now. There's the movies are starting to show up. A Groupon-like service is being tested. Over in Europe, they're already selling products. They've already become e-commerce. They're selling shoes over Facebook.
Hmm.
They're taking over comment sections of newspapers like the LA Times, who just don't want to deal with moderation anymore. So it's a little bit of Facebook everywhere you go. And it's definitely a lot of kind of swerving out of their lane, swerving out of that social media lane that they've been in to see if they could have success where companies like Netflix and Groupon and all these other companies have already had success.
Is all this stuff, John, more than Facebook can chew?
Well, the servers can handle it. The machinery can handle it. It's just a question of whether they can do anything so much better than what everybody else is doing that it gives people a good reason to switch. I mean, you could watch The Dark Knight on Facebook, but you're more attuned to watching it on Netflix or on iTunes or some of these other things. And, you know, it takes a lot to kind of get past that hurdle of, I think I'll watch a movie on Facebook. I think there's a lot of psychological hurdles that they're trying to get to, but I think that's okay with Facebook. As long as they have their tentacles loosely all over the internet, they don't need to be grabbing things with those tentacles. They just need to be sensing things.
Marketplace Tech Report host John Moe. John, thanks.
Bye, Steve.
And finally, from the DMV in London. After numerous attempts, a British woman has yet to pass her driver's test. She's failed 90 times. 90. 90. The woman's paid $4,500 so far in fees. That's the $50 test fee over and over and over again. It could be worse, though. A couple years back, a South Korean driver finally passed her driver's test after failing it 950 times. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter, at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.